All right, everybody. Today we have the amazing Cherie DeVille. She is an adult actress. She is an award-winning MILF, and she is an entrepreneur, among other things. Hi, Cherie.
Hi. Ooh, and a round of applause. Yes. Yeah. Keep it going.
Getting all kind of magical and shit here.
I like that.
So, last night was AVN.
It was.
And fuck, I'm tired.
I know, me too. I'm like, my eyes are dry and blurry, and yeah, my head's a little foggy, but I'm happy.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, thank God it's
fucking
over.
Let's be honest.
So you, the funny story, so I'll start with this, is I was sitting there, and we came in a little early, and we got our spots, and we're like, we're going to sit here, because this is a quick out.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, well, first I saw Alexis Fox, so I'm like, I want to sit next to her, and it was near the aisle, so right. Like, win, win, win.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and had my back to you sitting, so I didn't even see you walk up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't notice you till like 10 minutes in.
Someone, and I don't know who it was, but someone came in and said, Cherie. And I'm like, well, there's a lot of these names and that names. There's right. Only one Cherie that I know of.
Yes.
And I
didn't even know I was picking an original name, thank God.
I know. That the problem with mine, though, was so original that the only person that uses my stage name is those religious fuckers.
And right. That's kind of
apparently
they have
more Google pull than I do.
Damn it.
But so, yeah, someone called your name, and I turned around. I was like, holy fuck, she's sitting right behind mm-hmm. me, and I'm going to see her tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then they went through, and the awards happened, and your name flashed. What was your award for?
The one that I've actually been, like it's such an, well, in our industry, like an unimportant, you know, there's like performer of the years are important, and best boy, girl scene, everyone loves all that.
Right.
But the one that I've been nominated for a bazillion times and have never won is most outrageous sex scene, and that's all I've ever wanted in my porn career.
No shit.
Because I feel like if your peers are like, damn, that was weird. Like your porn peers
right.
think it was crazy, you're doing a good job.
Right.
So I was so fucking happy about that one.
That's awesome. The first movie I did, The Big Feature, we got nominated for the, and I didn't even know there was the most outrageous sex scene.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about this on the podcast. The sequence is Veruca James is having this dream psychotic kind of break where mm-hmm. she doesn't know yet that I'm her alter ego.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
She gets taken down by me, and there's right. this internal battle. That's what I.
But
I,
it's her in the inside.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if people ever picked up on that part of the story. But anyway, I grab her, I throw her down, I take her shirt, I rip it just enough for one boob to pop mm-hmm. out. I grab her, and I'm holding her down with my hand over her mouth and pull her shorts down just enough for my hand to, and the camera, this is all you see, and you
yeah,
see this.
The fingering, but not the penetration, yeah.
I could have just been holding her and
right.
scratching like a DJ, but it was the wiggle, and it was the way it was edited and shot, I'm like, you can't see anything, but we got nominated. I was like, fuck, I'll take that
That's
all day.
That's awesome to be nominated for most outrageous sex scene with not what some porn performers would consider a traditional sex scene, which would be penetration.
Right, of any
know?
Kind.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of any kind, yeah. to see the penetration. That's
it
awesome.
Was. I think what got it was, like I said, the way it was shot and scored, because there was this moment where her screaming, everything stopped, and all you hear is doom, 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 doom. And then the screaming comes back, and eventually,
That's awesome.
It was maybe a minute and a half long. It wasn't that
That's
long.
It.
But I think what made everybody go crazy over it, because it was, I choreographed it, I wrote it, I was in it.
Yeah.
And to this day, when I watch it, it makes me uncomfortable. It's rapey as fuck.
It makes you uncomfortable.
It makes me uncomfortable. Every time I
wow.
see it, I'm just like, oh.
Wow.
So it was good.
I'm going to have to watch that.
It's pretty hot.
I'm like, well, where's my pen? I'm going to write that one down.
Make some
yeah.
notes.
Make Veruca James.
So something I didn't know about you, and I don't know why, and if we did talk about it, it probably flew under my radar. I didn't know you were a Southern girl.
Well, I was born in North Carolina, but I only lived there till I was three, which is probably why I never talk about it, because, you know, I remember my little playset.
Right.
That's about it. I feel like that was my entire, and then my parents are not from the South. They went from undergrad in Massachusetts. My dad was in grad school at Chapel Hill. They were in married student housing. He finished his degree. We bounced.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, because I was like, I got to go find things that aren't the things that I know.
Right.
And I saw that and I'm
like, I know. Oh my God. And everyone's like, oh my God, Durham. And I'm like, well, I don't really remember anything but my little yellow slide. So if you want to talk about that, I can talk.
That's, well, there's that. A funny thing that you said, that it's a small world now, because I had an ex-girlfriend. I lived in Virginia for a little while, and I had an ex-girlfriend who was married at the time, because I'm a dirty bastard.
That's fine.
And she got in touch with me because I was moving back to Georgia. So I had to come through, and her husband at the time was stationed also there.
Yep.
And they were living in the housing.
Yeah.
And they were like, come, you know, on your way back down to Georgia, swing by and hang out with us. We haven't seen you in years.
Yeah.
I'd never met the guy. I fucked her for years.
Yeah.
And we, I stop off and he's like, hey, I got to go to the store. You want to come with me? And it's a ploy. They wanted to do a threesome.
Why didn't they just ask?
Well, he did, but
he's like tricking you into coming to the store.
Well, I was like, well, that was the thing. I'm like, I fucked her for how many years? And you're the one that's trying to talk me into this?
Weird.
So he, and I think it was because he wanted to be not just fucking her also. I think he wanted to be fucked or fucked.
It
was
okay, be so it had to be a little more special. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, dude, no offense, I don't know you. And that's just, that's not the way I swing.
Right.
That's just not the way I do. And even if I, you know, even if I did, I still, I don't know you.
Like, do not know you. This one trip to the grocery store is not
this isn't
enough foreplay for me.
We're not breaking bread.
Yeah.
So we get home and we get back to the house and it's kind of weird. And I look at her in front of him and I'm like, you could even ask me? And I'm like, I kind of like, let's just get this out in the open. We all laughed. We were fine.
Good. I'm glad somebody like, it's like an elephant in the room at that point. You're like, can we not just be adults? And
because I was like, now I gotta drive home.
Hey, want to fuck or not? Or like talk about it?
Right.
Yeah.
So I talked about it and we kind of knocked it out and it was all over with. And then the next morning he goes to work and I wake up with my dick in her mouth.
See, there you go.
And I was like, well, it's
happening.
You still got what you wanted and now he's not in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, it worked.
That sounds like that's what you two wanted. He just wanted to be in on the fun a little bit too.
I think he wanted a little attention both ways.
Aww.
So I'm not mad at him.
I'm not mad at him, but I'm like, oh, poor guy.
It's like you could have done it like maybe, I don't know, had a phone call or something.
Right, or at least like organize like, talk about it and then maybe you could at least watch or something, something, you know,
or I mean, anything or like, hey, you know, I'm coming. Why don't you suggest it and let me think about it on the drive down?
Yes.
It was
so
weird.
You think about like your parameters, what you're comfortable with. Yeah.
And do I want his finger in my ass? Maybe not. But
right. Like how close are we getting?
Nice.
Right.
Yeah.
And I spoke maybe Skype. Yeah. You know,
well, there was no
time?
Skype back then. Oh, we didn't even have.
Oh, this is a minute ago. Okay.
Yeah, this was in my 20s. So this is. Fuck, it's almost going to be 30 years ago. We're in my 20s. I'm 47 now. Fuck.
40s.
Yeah.
Things are falling apart now, huh?
Well, the
my
weird
things
thing
are
is,
falling apart. After I turn like 35, it's like you do something on set or at the gym, and instead of it being better the next morning, you're like, wait, this is going to stay for a while now?
Yeah.
Oh, this is my life?
Or this is not ever going away again.
Well, that's the other new exciting part about getting older. You're like, you have actual injuries, like stuff you did in your 20s that you're like, it's fine. I'm going to be great. And you're like, oh, that's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And now that hurts.
Here we are.
Here we are 20 years later and karma just bit me right on
bit
the ass.
Bit me right in the ass.
What I found out is my body doesn't like me as much and everything hurts more and it takes longer to recover.
Yep.
But that part, it's weird because my body is slowly falling apart, but my life is not. It's finally coming together.
Yes. I have more stability, freedom, money. I'm comfortable in my own skin with my own emotions. So like everything like upstairs, you know, is going great. And then my poor body, like, so I went to Thailand with Aaliyah Love, right?
Okay.
And like, she had hurt her neck in a car accident. And I don't know what I did. I did something on set. My arm was numb. I had pinched a nerve. So I go, girl, remember how like a long time ago, we're like, yeah, you know, we got to travel while we're still young. So we're not those old people. I'm like, we're those old people right now, like on the boat going, well, I don't want to sit in the good seat because I think it might hurt my neck. Like, oh my God, stop.
And do you think they can have dinner a little earlier so I can be in bed on time?
No, actually, yes. Yeah. Like we waited too long.
But I feel like that's the cycle. I feel like that's what happens is when you are young and crazy and you do all the things and you're irresponsible, that's what builds you and helps turn you into the person that you are. And you can look back and go, that was really stupid. And I'm lucky I lived through that.
I'm lucky I lived through
that. But the problem is, like I said, once you finally get your shit together, you're broken.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's like, okay, now that I can afford to do the nice things and the fun things, it hurts to do them.
It's like that terrible old adage you hear from all the old people, youth is wasted on the young. I thought they were just being shitty, but it's like actually true.
Yeah.
The youthful body you have when you don't know what to do with it. And then you grow up enough to like really know what you'd want to do with yourself and you can't do all the things you want.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is a funny analogy too. Technically, physically, as I got older, my balls got huge because it's what happens with men. They just slowly
all
start
men,
dropping.
I know like your ears and nose tend to get bigger and bigger balls too.
Your balls just drop.
Cool.
But figuratively, I had bigger balls in my 20s. Like I was like, let's go rappelling off fucking, you know, this. And I want to jump out of planes and I want to drive really fast and you got a head full of acid but it's wearing off, fuck you drive because I just took
I'm
mine
fine,
stupid shit now people are like, hey JP, you've had a couple beers, you want to come over real quick? Bitch, no. I've been drinking.
No.
I'm more than capable of driving with two
beers.
You're
like, I really understand what might happen and like, and Well, that's the other thing. When you're in your 20s, people tell you what might happen. But once you live through it happening to a few of the people that you love, you're like, ooh, this is real.
Yeah,
this real, is real. So we don't make these choices
this
anymore.
This isn't responsible.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing, yeah.
Damn consequences.
Yeah, being grown up. I found that I kind of skipped through, like, I've done the porn for so long, and I had a very small window of where the daddy thing happened.
Yeah.
And it was because my wife was actually pregnant. So at the armory, all the girls, because I was running the upper floor, so we had the contract slaves. So they were like mommy and daddy, and it was kind of hot, but it was because of the kid coming. And then the kid was born, the upper floor, I stopped shooting it, and it just, I switched straight over from like, what's up, daddy, to papa. Like, I'm the official.
Yeah. That's
so because
nice.
It's her and I. Because of the girls, and most of them are so young, and it's like, hey, are you doing this? Are you taking care of yourself? What are you going to do afterwards? Do you need me to call you and check in?
Like, same.
It's parental shit now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I like mother hen a lot of the young girls on set, and I'm like, is this good or creepy? Like, I know I'm supposed to have sex with you in 10 minutes, but like, I also want to just like hold you and tell you all the things you need to know.
And make sure you're safe.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
Are you happy? Are you okay? Do you need this? Do you need that? I'm like, wait a second.
Give me your number and I'll call you later and make sure you're okay.
No, for real. Yeah.
Right. I've done the same thing. That's the good thing about social media is I can be like, how are you?
Or just like the cute check-in, like, oh my God, it was so much fun working with you. You know, so you're like kind of like testing, like, are you cool? I'm cool.
Yeah.
Are you cool?
I had a good time. Are you good?
Yeah.
Do we need to go to dinner and talk about this?
Right. Well, especially like your genre, especially, but even a little bit mine with like a lot of the weird mommy stuff that I do, even though it's not physically intense like your job is, it can be really emotionally weird, the stuff I have to say. And if I'm meeting, especially a woman for the first time, and then doing that deep fetish work, like, I don't want her to think that I'm like crazy, because like
creepy mommy.
I definitely come off super fucking creepy.
Which is hot.
Yeah, which is my job. But when you have a brand new person that you've never known,
Yeah.
And that's why I like to like have like, oh, this is like our moment together as people. Okay, now we have the weird thing. Okay, now here's our moment together as people again.
So there's the weird thing sandwich where here's the sanity on each end.
Yeah. So that she doesn't like freak out.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with, and you know, we've worked together for years. It's like there's, and I'm not like a screaming, hateful, mean person, but I'm a very aggressive when the camera turns on. So there has to be the same thing. There has to be the nice JP on the outside, so I can do the mean things on the inside.
So that they'll emotionally be okay with that and not actually lose it.
Right, and they feel safe enough that they know they can, because as soon as it's over with, and I've had anything from good job and pounding knuckles to sitting on the floor with a girl in my lap crying.
Yeah, crying, but like good crying.
And it's, baby, you okay? It's okay. You need something? They're like, no, I'm okay.
No, I'm so good. Just hold me, okay?
And that's when I usually get the... Did I do good, daddy? I'm like, yes, baby, you did good. Now call me Papa.
Exactly. Yeah, now call me Papa, because you're going to draw that line.
See, all of this is Papa, bitch. Let's move to this next one. What the hell? My notes are so fucked up. I think it's when did you get into the industry?
I got into porn in 2011, but I'd been doing some like, I think like maybe 2010, I started doing nude modeling and like fetish work. I did bondage before porn and like, you know, the clips for sale kind of stuff, like chloro fetish, hypno fetish, like all that kind of non, quote unquote, non-sex work, like no penetration.
Modeling.
Work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then actually OC Modeling found me online. Yeah. And asked, Creepers. Do you want to do porn? And I'm like, ooh. What? I was That's actually awesome. Really flattered. I'm like, I'll do it. I'll go for 1 week. And I'll never come back. And I'll just say I did it. I'll be like, Nana did the weirdest shit when she was young. And then I just liked it. I'll be like, look at the movie your auntie was in.
I did this really dirty thing.
When
this
I was,
time.
You know. That's what I thought it would be. Yeah.
And it just, it's still
going.
Yeah,
I thought it would be like skydiving. Like that one fun thing you do to say you did it.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked with Brando?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He was he came in when he found out that we had this place, and he was like, wait a minute, you do bondage and you have this place, and he shot the fuck out of us. So I got to know him fairly well. And
I didn't even know that team did bondage work.
Yeah. The funny thing, and there's, because you know, there's always scripts and all the pictures.
Sure.
Every fucking picture they had as an example wasn't something from Kink. It was specifically from my shoots.
Yeah. And that's always funny when I see other companies, like, because your stuff gets used a lot. Like, if I'm doing bondage for any, what I call, like, a vanilla company that's not really going to do bondage with me, it's always your stuff. Like on the little, like, what do you call it? The not just the script, but like the layout. They're like, we want this key shot, and it'll be like your picture. We want this key shot, and it'll be like your picture.
These motherfuckers, I'm gonna tell them they owe me some money.
Like everybody, I'm telling you. Because your picture's like, that is what you would want it to look like.
Right. And that's why Brando hired me to do this stuff.
Oh, good. That's why I was like, did he just use your place? Because no,
he hired me to come in and do the rigging. And
thank
then
God.
Xander
when they
here.
Don't.
Yeah, it's. Oh, girl. I talk about this all the time, about those certain companies who think,
at best.
They think they know what they're doing.
They do not.
I had an opportunity to go work for the movie, one of the movies that got a whole lot of awards, and I didn't even get a response back from the director. The director failed to even communicate with me, and the star had to say, oh, well, we chatted, and the dates aren't going to work. And I'm like, I started mine with,
That's how it works.
Nice to officially meet you. Here's my dates. These are the ones that move. So, shady.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. And especially in something like that, where it is not just so it looks good, which your stuff does, it's so that it feels right, is safe, right. Doesn't cut off any of the wrong circulations. You know anatomy, you know rope placement, you're watching, like, you can't just, like, watch some YouTube tutorials and tie someone up properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The analogy I use is that there's porn, and then there's the BDSM table inside of the porn. And there's plenty of room at the table. And I welcome anyone to come sit down at the table, but know your fucking place. Don't come over here and try and tell me how you're trying to imitate what I'm doing or what any of us are doing.
But I feel like I think the problem is in porn, there's quite literally no barrier to entry. And I mean that in terms of skill or anything. You just need to be breathing and show up.
Right.
But that is not true with this niche. Not with BDSM. There is a massive skill set, just like an education. You know, you need to come to the table with years of experience before day one.
Right.
You know, and I don't think that regular pornographers understand that, because that's not the way anything else works. They're like, oh, we'll figure it out, you know?
Yeah, and that's people get hurt figuring this out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's when people, and I tell them all the time with me, like, the reason I am good at what I do is because I've fucked up. I've never hurt someone severely, but I've done this. One of the stories I like to tell is I've done one of the most amazing ties, and I thought I was the coolest guy in the world because I'd sat and spent so much time figuring out exactly how every part of her body was going to be. But I was so new that as soon as I got her tied up and I turned around to get the camera, she's like, I got to come out. And I was like, well, can I get a picture? She's like, No, I got to come out now. So I put the camera down, and we didn't get to see any of it because I didn't know what I was doing. So I tied too tight. I tied incorrectly with as far as, so she was numb before. Once I pulled everything together, she's like, I can't breathe and I can't feel my hands.
Yeah. So that's it.
So, okay. You got to come out.
Yeah. And then all that time and all that beautiful rope work. Yeah.
Gone. I almost had to cut rope because she started panicking.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with any, like, even success. Anyone that says that you see that's successful, the thing that you never see is how many times they failed to get there.
Oh, God. That's the truth. Yeah. 1,000 more times than you win.
Yeah.
1,000 more times.
And the reason you get to that point, I was having a talk with my kid this morning because he was like, I was showing him pictures from last night. And I was like, look at this. It's the red carpet and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, that's not fair. I want to go on the red carpet. I was like, then do what I do. And he was like, what?
Work just really hard.
He's being a smart ass. And he wasn't trying to be, but he was like, so I need a cool suit like you. And I was like, no, honey. Daddy's worked his ass off for a lot of years to be able to walk
Decades.
Down a red carpet.
Yeah.
So that's his goal now, is he wants to walk down a red carpet.
So cute. So, I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Like, he jumped out of bed this morning. He's like, did you get another trophy? Can I see another?
Oh,
did
my God. And he's like, yes.
He had to get it up, like, pull the box open. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this box is pretty, Daddy. Can
what
I
is?
Have this box? And I was like, give me my damn box back.
It is a really nice box. Although I've been putting my trophies up, like, just on my bookshelf casually. It's because they're heavy.
Right.
So, like, to hold different books up in different places in my built-in bookshelf. Yeah.
I love that.
So it's like they're sort of on display, but they're also super functional.
Yeah. Mine are, like, coming to my house and the living room opens up and you look this way and there's the dining room and there's the kitchen. And there's this right here going into the kitchen, right before you go into the little walkway, there's a little, like, cupboard with, like, it's like where they probably would put their china or something, what it was designed for. And on the top shelf, there's the picture when I coached his football team one time. So there's me with his, like, you know, the 4 and 5 year old kids, yeah. and then all of his little sports trophies that he's gotten for like participation. Mm-hmm. And then mine are pushed over in a corner.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
You're like your kid front and center, yours like.
Yeah. I pushed my and he asked me this morning, he's like, Daddy, is there enough room for yours in there? Do I need to move mine? I was like, no, baby.
How cute is that? Yeah, he was going to move his trophies for you.
He was super sweet. Let me see. Love that. Yeah. Daddy, I want to make sure there's enough room for you.
They should let kids walk a little red carpet for their, oh my God.
So that's before I left the house this morning. And then.
And he's so good. I remember how good he was at
There's mine pushed up. Against, like, and yes. I had to barely. So,
yeah, there's the corner of one over there. Yeah. Yes. Is so, that this year's right there?
Yeah, that's
didn't read it.
This year.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I was texting with Kristen last night. She texted me after I got home and she was like, I'm so proud of what we did. And I'm so, and I was like, me too. But I'm super tired. I need to go to bed. Like,
but good night.
It's funny as I'm looking through pictures, I told Disco, hold on. Mm-hmm. This is because that's his stage name, videographer's mm-hmm. Disco. This is the jingle every time I talk about him. Disco. So I told him, I was like, you know what we need to do? We need an old school MySpace mirror selfie.
Yes.
Isn't that phenomenal?
MySpace.
So that was the thing. Remember, you yes. stand there and take the picture?
Yes, that's good though. You guys look good.
We were dapper. Like
very dapper.
It was him and I walking the red carpet, and then we were with Victoria Vox.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all walking the red carpet, and he kind of stepped back because he's such a modest guy.
Oh.
So he was like, it's like, this is the Lime thing. This is you guys. And he was like, the perspective. He was like, not that I just got to stare at Victoria's amazing ass the whole time.
Nice.
He's like, but I get to see how people were reacting to you two.
That's what my partner says. Sometimes he'll walk behind me a little bit just to see what other people are doing. And he just gets a big kick out of it.
He was too. He was like, this is, but every time that someone would stop and call us. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing was because... You know Victoria. Victoria's smoking fucking hot.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And we all joke that I think there were more people talking to me about the fucking zoot suit. They're like, either
they loved it.
I had people that were like, Pope, and there were a couple that actually called out my initials. They were like, JPP, and I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck is this?
Hell yeah.
But there was like, oh, this is the best dressed guy, or blah, blah, all this, which was awesome. Really but at nice. The same time, anytime someone would get her attention, she would put her arms out like this and mm-hmm. it like Disco loved it. I thought it was cool too. Cause both of us were like, let's give her space. And she's like, come here boys. She's and like, she was here. Always like, we're going to take pictures together.
I
the
like
whole time.
That.
So it was pretty cool.
And it's also more comfortable because sometimes those things can be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. And I love the fans and it's fantastic, but it's just a lot. It's a lot of energy and a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's overwhelming. Like that's the first time I've done red carpet.
Really?
I'd never, because
it's just too much.
I joke. Well, it's a lot. You got to go wait in line and I'm usually by myself and I don't want to be the one where the photographer is going, okay.
Right. Yeah.
So, and it's, I don't know. I, it's not a like real, oh, poor me moment, but it's like, even after 15 years, most people in this industry don't know who the fuck I am.
Which is, well, maybe because it's this niche market. I don't know. But I feel like the people who do know who you are, like, no, right. Like it's not like other like people that are like vague in porn where like you're known or not known. You're a super fucking star in your genre.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Right. So maybe when you put it in mainstream porn, okay, if BDSM isn't their thing, they'll have never seen you.
Right.
But if you've seen any kind of bondage work,
right.
You've seen you.
Right.
It's literally impossible not to have. So.
And I think since I've started making these big movies, it's happening. Like, you know, hanging out with Jules
crossover,
Jordan.
Yeah.
So people, more the mainstream people. Like I shot, I worked with Maddie O'Reilly, who kind of, she's been kind of anti-kink for several years.
Has she? I didn't know.
For whatever reason. I think she just really liked
but
another.
She likes that type of work, I thought.
It was another production, or another production company
person.
That she preferred to work with.
Oh.
But she hit me up one day and she was like, I keep hearing good shit about you. I want to come work with you. So we knocked that barrier down. But she, when I had her on the podcast and was talking to her, she was like, we've actually met before. I was like, no, we haven't. She was like, yeah, you and I sat at the same table at AVN. I was like, I've only sat at one table and that was with Jules Jordan. She was like, that was the table out. She's like, you won an award that year. And I was like, oh shit.
She remembered.
She totally remembered it. So I thought that was kind of weird. So, but it is, it's like working with, you know, having Jules and now that I've started I've made the second movie and now like, you know, Gustavo from XBiz and Peter and Sharon from AVN, mm-hmm. like more people know me now.
Right. You've broken out of the small fetish box into but don't you feel like that's the way all porn is going? Like, I feel like in the 90s, it was always like blonde, big tit, twigs, and that was the only woman, and then you'd have the certain type of man and the certain type of porn, because right. you're trying to sell it to everybody on DVD or VHS. But now it's the internet. So even if there's a million people in the whole world that like you, it might be difficult for DVD distribution, but it's more than enough
right.
for any, like Cougars. Like, there's always been a Mrs. Robinson kind of role, but it wasn't a big deal right. until we opened it up to the whole world to watch. So now right. you can have the a huge variety of body shapes, a huge variety of ages, a huge variety of fetishes, and there's enough eyeballs for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just last night, like, I was so proud, and I complain a lot on the podcast about shit that goes on in this industry, because there's some rotten shit, and there's some rotten people.
It's
who
changing.
It is. And for the most part, it's getting better. But like, I was talking with Anna Fox recently, and I told her this. I was like, the reason that the bad seems so bad now is because everything seems to be getting so slowly getting better. So when you are bad now, it's like, fuck, but you're like, you're not like kind of, you're being really fucking bad.
Yeah.
And it stands out more.
And I think people are willing to say it.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe just in the past 2 years, or maybe even in just in the past 1 year, performers, we're all shooting our own content now.
Right.
So if one company doesn't hire us now, it's not going to ruin us
right.
like it would 3 years ago. So when someone is a dick or does something horrifying or racist or sexist or abusive and you call them out and you burn your bridge, it's okay.
Right.
You can exercise that power to help other people stay right. away from these bad apples. Yeah.
The problem is there's been several of those things recently, mm-hmm. and yet
I think people are speaking out. But even like a few of the more recent instances, I had to ask like 12 of my friends to explain it to me, and I'm in the industry, I'm like, who was it
and what happened?
I'm not saying I'm the most brave person, but if you're gonna speak out, tag them, speak the fuck out,
right?
Because if I'm in porn, in grinding in porn every day, and I can't figure out who's the bad guy, like, right. no one really has any idea what you're talking about. I got to be honest. Right. When I have to ask 10 of my friends what the fuck happened, no one's going to figure it out,
and
unless you're a stalker.
Right. And that's the problem, is you have shit that happens, and you unfortunately have girls who feel threatened by the director,
mm-hmm.
Are shut down by their agent.
By everybody, yeah.
Or there's stop stirring shit up. Do you want to keep working? Stop it. And just that mentality
not true anymore.
No, it's not, because like you said, you have your own brand. You put in the work. You don't need any of us. At this point, I joke and say this, that if you take away the models, you got a weird, tall, cross-legged guy standing in the middle of the room with a fucking rope in his hand.
Stop.
You see what I'm saying? Like, it's...
You're very much underestimating yourself. I understand what you're trying to say, right. but you're a performer, so it's right. different, but...
But you see what I'm saying? Like, if you take the models out of this, MindGeek goes away. Mm-hmm. Kink goes away. All of the companies go away without the models, and the models now have a platform that they can exercise the right of, well, you need me.
Right.
Or
you treated me badly, so I'm not going to come back.
Yeah. And
I really kind of couldn't do that before.
You had to shut up and take it.
Kind of. Yeah. You know, especially some of the new, I've been blessed to have a lot of work, but if you're only working 5-6 times a month, are you going to give away 2 of those shoots? That would be a disaster.
That's rent.
Yeah, or you're going to be known as the drama queen, and then you know, the good old boys network is breaking a little bit, and the models have a little bit more power.
Yeah, and I like that. It's going to take a while, but my theory is that it's about to implode, and I feel like
it's come, like it's like everyone's just like putting out those, oh well, they did that to them, and they're still working. Okay, well maybe I'm going to say something. Okay, well, I'm still working. And like, there's going to become a momentum,
right.
you know?
I think there's going to be a porn version of the Me Too.
And the
I
say, real Me Too.
Because the
Weinstein level Me Too.
Because the Me Too started, and then the Me Too, my opinion, got diluted because it turned into a witch hunt for people that were like, people were just saying it to be on the bandwagon.
Yes. Yeah, and that will happen, will and has happened in porn too. Right. So there's the good and the bad when you push that far. But I think even in the regular Me Too movement, the people that were complaining about it going too far, it's like, yes, it did, but people were being horribly abused too, right, for so long, you know? So like, yes, there's everyone got a little bit painful, right? It was a little bit overly painful for everyone, but hopefully it'll, you know, come out balanced back to the correct, which is just no abuse. That's just all people want, no abuse.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. I think when, and the uncomfortable part was when, I mean, Cosby, Weinstein, all of these big things were called out and it was like, fuck, this happened.
Yeah.
But then there was the, like, George Takei or something like
then
that.
Then it went a little far.
And Ryan Seacrest.
And they just want to tell a story, and then there are people that just want to be famous.
Right.
You know, so that's going to happen in mainstream, and that's going to sadly happen in porn.
It's like war casualties. Like, unfortunately, there's innocence that happens.
Correct.
And if they're really innocent, which those two specifically were.
Yeah, nobody believes that. I'm sure there's a small percentage of the population that does. But for the most part, people are like, no.
It's barely a
people
blemish.
Aren't that dumb.
Right.
You know, that. They'll figure out where the real bad eggs are.
Right. But I feel like the blemishes that came from that, they're probably not even a blemish anymore. But
no, like those guys are fine now. Like, I'm sure they had a bad month, but.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't want to say it was worth it for them to have.
No, not for them personally.
But it was the movement that it sucked that they had to get called because of the people looking for popularity. But the fact of all of the purging that did happen. And I think that's what's going to happen.
It was valuable.
There's going to be a few that was like, well, this and this, there may be a few casualties, if you mm-hmm. would. But I think when you start nailing the ones that are doing racist shit and the ones that are, hey, come suck my dick and I can get you more work.
Right.
Or those things that are.
Get rid of the certain, the offenders.
Make
the Weinsteins.
Right.
The real animals.
Right. And the thing is with the Weinstein situation, would using that analogy, is that it's now there has to be a bigger responsibility. There has to be these huge companies stepping up and going, okay, we did employ that person, and now we have to go, you're not shooting for us anymore. And that one, I think
that's
gonna
not happening yet.
No, I think that's going to be a bigger pill to swallow, because it's going to be like, well, there's all these accusations and there's proof that so-and-so did the thing. Now you turn around and you look at the big
now
company.
What?
Now what are you going to do? Are you going to let this person keep going?
Right.
And that's where, like...
So far, the answer's been yes. Not in every circumstance, but in, like, what, 90%?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Derek Pierce said it best. He was like, you
the only people that they've been getting rid of are the abusers that were already very small.
Right.
That had a very small role. So it's almost like, oh, look, we got rid of so-and-so for doing this. It's like, yeah, but what about the...
We're the person that taught them how to do that.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the culture, we've been indoctrinated in this culture. And it's funny because when all this stuff started happening, I was shocked. Now, I've been in porn 9 years, and I tell you truthfully, I've never had someone so much as whisper something inappropriate to me once. So I thought I was just living in Candyland.
Right.
And still I started talking to some of my younger female colleagues and realized that, no, I am not living in Candyland. They just aren't fucking with me for some reason.
Well, that's because they're predators. And the predator's going to go after what they feel is the easiest prey, the low-hanging fruit. And not to say that any of them...
No.
Not to talk bad about the girls, but...
It's just youth. You can't help being young. Right.
And if they see that she's naive... Or that even he's naive, that they're, you know what, let me, and it's, and I don't think it's premeditated. I think they see a hole and they go for it.
Right. I don't think that, I don't even give them the credit of planning ahead like that. They're just like, you know.
Right. So, I mean, I think, yeah, I think it's getting there. And like you said, I think there's the sticking the toe in the water and they're like, ooh, I'm still working. I still have a job. Okay. And then more and then more.
And then they're back to their old behavior.
Right.
For sure. I mean, that's.
I think it's the opposite way with the girls, though, too. So if the girls are going, all right, I said a little something and I didn't say names, but I made it clear that I did a thing, and enough people that know enough things are going to figure out who I'm talking
eventually,
about.
Eventually, after asking 12 of my friends.
Right. So there's that situation, but it's, I'm still working.
Right.
And I didn't get pushed back, because there was the one like with Lee Raven who, I don't think anybody shoots her anymore. And I love Lee. I've had her on here.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that.
There was a he said, she said.
Yeah.
And I'm still not sure. I mean, how
can you ever be sure about any of it? But that's why it's so complicated. You do need to speak out, you know? And then I think part of it is, especially as a woman in porn, so a lot of times you're talking about the woman actress and then the male non-actor, you know, the male in a power position, you know, whether it's directorial or any of the other staff, you know, on set. And the problem is there's a massive, massive, massive stigma with porn, and the women are dumb. The women are crazy. The women are drug-addled. The women are helpless. And then with those personality characteristics, I think a lot of the public is just going to poo-poo the women as crazies.
She had it coming.
Or like, these men have been in the industry making a career for 20 years or whatever it is, and then there's this one young 19-year-old girl who we saw on Twitter parties too much, so she must be the liar.
Right.
You know, so I think it's like we have a heart. Like, it's almost like we have to shout louder and bigger and be better and smarter and all these things in the guy just to like be heard.
Right.
You know, whereas when the mainstream actresses did the Me Too, they're so respected in the public. Like, they're loved more than he is.
Right.
But in our world, the big boys are loved way more than we are.
In Hollywood, that poor thing, we're going to stand up for her. Yes. And porn, well, what did she do to deserve it?
Yeah, or you have the white knights that are standing up for you in all the wrong ways. Let me swoop you up. Let me save you. Let me get you out of porn. Let me buy you all the things. It's like, you're both equally bad.
Yeah.
Like, the white knights are as disgusting as the people that are poo-pooing me.
Yeah. White Knights is better than mine is Captain Save-A-Ho. That's what I use.
Yes. I like that. Yeah. Save-A-Ho. And but they're just doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
It's so fucking selfish. It's nauseating.
I
those
think I'm
guys.
Make a movie about this.
You should. Because they're the worst and the weirdest. I know they think they're the nicest and the best. Yeah. That is not the way it is.
It doesn't make sense. I don't understand these fuckers. Let me see what time.
Selfish.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what it is. I say I don't understand them. I do understand them. I can't understand being the predator. And I'm
so gross. Which is true because you play the predator,
right?
Which is so, but you know what? I say the same thing about my creepy MILF roles. I think that if I were overly attached to it or if it were overly real to me, I wouldn't do as good a job.
Right.
I think that's probably true for you too. Like, you can get into that beautiful headspace because it doesn't resonate so strongly with you.
Right.
You can keep it together to keep it safe.
Like, I'm naturally a sadist. Like, I truly get off on doing the things I do.
Right, but you have enough like frontal lobe action while you're doing it to like know what's going on. You're not like completely emotionally like, ah, like, you know.
Like the ones that you see on all the crime dramas.
Right.
The sexual sadist.
Right.
So, and I think that it's, I don't know. I don't know what I think. I think that it drives me crazy that it happens and that so many still fall prey to it. And that's what gets me. It's like there's, cause I want to be like, no. And just fucking Superman punch them all in the face when anytime you see them. But
well, this is one funny thing. So like, you know how in California, everyone had to incorporate, whatever. So that's an extremely small barrier to entry to porn.
Right.
In fact, like, you know, like on late night television, they'll be like, online, you can get your degree for plumbing, the daycare. Like, that's more of a barrier to entry than porn. So I'm not saying that there needs to be or there doesn't need to be, but I was listening to a bunch of agents and other higher ups talk about it. And the reason that they don't like it is so upsetting to me. They're like, but what about that new girl who just comes in for a few months and is gone? How are we basically going to make money on her? And I'm like,
predators.
What?
Yeah.
So your reason that you don't think people need to incorporate is so you can still use the people that can't spend one day thinking about a choice that could change their entire lives?
Right.
Like, obviously, I don't think incorporation should be utilized to prevent people from getting into porn, but I think it's nice that gives you a day to pause and think about your choices.
Right.
And maybe $500 that you have to take a little bit of time saving up, which would also give you pause to think about your choices. They don't like it because they don't want that pause.
No.
And that is so fucking disgusting to me that mm-hmm. I'm like advocating incorporation like for this whole other reason.
Right.
Because I was so upset because every time I had a conversation with someone, they would bring that stuff up. And I'm like, are you even listening to yourself?
No.
What?
Did you hear about the agent who, and he's got quite the reputation of being scummy. There's Netflix documentaries about this guy. Mm. And he recently had a girl who came in, and as soon as she turned 18, the second she turned 18.
Oh, so he knew her before she was 18?
He took
talking about porn?
He took the naked pictures of her and talked about and had her signed ready to go before she was 18. And then when she turned 18, bink, the button was pushed and she was booked on day one. If that was the day she turned 18, how'd you get the fucking pictures? How did you discuss these sexual things with someone if she just turned 18 the day you made it go live?
Even if you had a phone call with a 17-year-old talking about that, you're an animal.
Yeah, you're breaking the fucking law.
Yeah.
Like, and I have, and a lot of people
not that agree. 17 and 18, we've made this nebulous line. I completely understand that some 17-year-olds and some 19-year-olds and some 16-year-olds and some 22-year-olds have a vast difference in maturity.
There's some 30-year-olds.
That is our society's standard.
Right.
That is what we've decided. So you have to stick to that.
Right. And I feel, and I say this sometimes that to people, and I think this may be the first time I publicly said it, is that I am not sure that 18 is the best age to start this industry.
I couldn't have. And you see that I have a very good career and I'm a very confident woman.
Right.
But I could not have, you know what I couldn't have done at 18? I could have done the scenes. What I couldn't have done is dealt with the social media.
Right.
And
that's
killed
a lot of them.
I could not have dealt with the stuff coming at me at that age on a daily basis from social media. It would have ruined me. I would have started making changes. I don't know what I would have done. Like, there are days where I have to step away from it at 41 years old.
I don't know what.
My God.
I had something the other day that happened that I woke up and someone had a comment, and it was on YouTube. It wasn't even on Twitter or Instagram. It was on this. And I don't know if it was the morning or that, but they had pushed and touched and poked every sensitive thing they possibly could. And it just rubbed me and it fucked up my entire day. It fucked up my entire, and
I hate giving them that power.
Right.
So I don't ever really respond, but like, good job. It hurts us. You know what I mean? Like, why? And then, you know, I tell myself for me to calm myself down. I'm like, they're in a much sadder place than you are. They're hurting. They're the wounded animal. They're lashing out. Try and have some empathy for them. Because at the end of the day,
then you sympathize with them. And then it makes you feel bad. Because you're like, well, fuck, how fucked up are they?
Well, no, I do feel bad for them.
That's what I'm saying. So you go from my feelings are hurt to now I feel bad for them.
I can easily, my empathy is high. And it's always been high. Like, I couldn't watch the Sesame Street episode where the guy fell down the stairs with pies. It made me cry because the poor man dropped all his pies. So like, my empathy is a comfortable place for me.
Right.
But the sadness and the hurt is very uncomfortable. So I would prefer, even if it's not the truth, to feel bad for them.
Right.
That feels comfortable than to feel, oh my God, how many people hate me like this? How many people are saying this? How many strangers are thinking this of me?
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing. And I talk about it a lot. And I know there's people that are like, you know, and I actually have a person who comments on the YouTube channel that's, and he said something like, well, you talk about the bad people all the time. You don't talk about the good people. And I've recently been like, I love you guys and you guys are awesome. But it's, because of what we do, and maybe we do sometimes take it for granted that we've got so many people who love and adore what we do. But I think that's human nature.
Like someone, like just anybody could be so beautiful. Like in high school, someone told me that my legs were really short and that stuck with me. I don't even know how many compliments I'd gotten in my life, but I think that's kind of human nature where you get 100, that was a beautiful scene. Oh my God, what a great actress. You made my day. These are the great emotions I feel. And then the one guy who, like you said, hits the button, the thing that you are already self-conscious about. And then all the rest of it is like, well, that's white noise, but this is real. But that's just because it was real to you.
Right. And the thing that because we are, no matter how what we portray when the cameras are rolling or when the mics are on or any of this other stuff, at the end of the day, we're still human and we still have emotions and we still, I was talking to someone just yesterday about this, talking about like body positive, having a mentality, is you can sit there and I can sit across from you right now and look and I've seen you naked and we've done the things and can say that you are fucking flawless, but you are going to look in that mirror and you're going to at least one thing, you're going to be like, I wish I could change that. Or I wish it wasn't that way.
Yes.
And the whole world can tell you otherwise, but you are the one who
you
sees
feel how you.
You
feel.
Right. And that's, and it's a weird, especially being in this industry, because you do sit there and you want to be like, no, you're beautiful. But to have, and I'd learned this years ago that you have a girl who comes in and she's a dime. Everything about her is perfect.
From the hair to the toenails.
And I don't like this and I don't like this. And you keep saying, and then they say, well, I want to fix this. And you don't, because you're so beautiful. But then one day it clicked in the middle of this happening. And I grabbed my guys and I was like, stop telling her not to do it because she doesn't see the same thing we see.
She's not, quite literally, not processing the same information in the same way.
She could have someone walk into the room that damn near looked identical to her, and she could say that's the most beautiful person on the planet, mm-hmm. but what she sees in the mirror is not as beautiful to her. And all of us are that way. I don't look in the mirror. I sit there. That's why I was earlier about, you know, the big silly cross-eyed guy.
But like, it's not even just with our physicality. I don't know about you, but no one is as harsh to me as I am to myself.
Right.
Why didn't you get that done? Man, are you lazy today? Like, no one would ever say, to me the things that or push me as hard as I push myself. So.
But that also, I feel like, is even though it's being hard on yourself, it also is why you're so successful, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Like we were saying earlier.
Because I have that little internal voice going, what are you doing? Come on.
You can do better.
Do this. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. And that's why I've always kind of had it on my sets that, like, you know, anybody that works with me is like, anytime you do something and step back and go, okay, that's good enough, it's not.
Right.
It's fucking not. Push. Until you say that's the best I can possibly do it, good enough's not, it's never good enough.
No.
So.
Not in this business.
No.
It's a little competitive if you hadn't noticed. You know, you gotta be pushing harder than the next person.
Yeah, you've gotta be constantly evolving, constantly getting better, and watching everything that everyone's doing. Because it's not just show up on set, do the thing, walk away, and everyone's gonna be nice to us and be like, you're the best in the world. There's always gonna be those people for whatever reason that's gonna be mean and be hateful and be shitheads and...
But I don't know how the young girls do it. I watch some of their Twitters and I'm like, this girl's not going to make it. And it's never because they're not a good performer or because they're not pretty enough or da, 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 da. It's always like this interpersonal stuff, you know?
They engage the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that too, because anytime I get a shitty comment, the first thing I do is like, you piece of shit, I will fucking hunt you down and rip your fucking head off.
That's what my heart is doing. And then
I delete it.
Stop. Yeah. Because I try and think, like, this is how I step back from when I like want to just like tear someone up on my social media. I'm like, you are Cherie DeVille, just like Petco. If somebody said something weird to Petco, would they roll them over like you're about to on Twitter? No.
Right.
Why? Because it's unprofessional and bad for your brand, ladies. If Petco wouldn't do it, don't do it. It is losing you work. Social media, especially when it's your fake name, is not for venting.
No.
Open a real account with your real friends and do whatever you want. But Cherie DeVille is a brand, not a person like Petco.
Yeah. And I agree with that 100%. I feel the same thing.
I'm not saying I'm not tempted. I am tempted every day.
I think all of us are. I think everyone is.
Or that I don't make mistakes. Right. But
I mean, I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan, and one of his big things is he tells everybody, don't read the comments. Joe Rogan, you expect me to believe you don't read the comments? I know you got millions, and my goal is I'm going to be on a show. This year, I'm going to be on a show. I said that last year, but this year I'm going to do it because I got the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's at some point, at some time, I know he does this, and he's a very balanced man who does a lot of things to make sure he's not, fuck you.
Yeah.
To keep, as he calls it, he keeps the monster at bay. Yeah, and that's why he exercises so much to get all of that out of his system.
Yes.
Which maybe I need to exercise a little more.
No, I do. If I'm really mad, I'll go exercise.
It's good for you. When I was really training hard, like that was, I was probably the most peaceful I've ever been.
Yeah.
And now, like I was telling you, I'm so busy that by the time I sit down, I'm like, I don't have time to be as mad or aggressive because
you're run out of your you're like the puppy that someone let run around all day. You're like, I'm good, I'll nap now.
And as soon as the baby goes to lay down, I'm like, go, and it takes off running again.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I think that it's the watching people do, because I back in when I first started, and I started realizing that people were, that's when you realize that you're getting the following, is when people start hating on you.
Kind of.
And I realized
duplicating then that, you and then hating on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've only got that weird Catholic church that keeps duplicating me.
God damn them.
The motherfuckers.
That's another country. Who cares?
I don't know what they want from me.
Who knows? Their shit's way weirder than yours.
It is. I've joked that I should change my stage name because apparently the John Paul the Pope is getting ready to become John Paul the Saint. And I'm like, don't make me, because I don't know if you know this. Social media platform that I'm on, I have all with no underscores and numbers is just John Paul the Pope. I own johnpaulthepope.com.
Stop.
They fuck with me and I'm going to get the saint. Yeah.
Please, just do it now though. Do it before they are the saint. Just like, you have to own that. I'll pay for it personally, just so I know that you have it.
I've got to look it up. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, you know, like we all have the little blurbs to write mm-hmm. about ourselves. Mine, no matter what, is like a professional monster, award-winning mm-hmm. director. Mm-hmm. And it always ends with Catholicism's going to hate me one day, or will hate me one day.
Yeah. Oh, they know about you. They have definitely. Like, do they not have the internet? They have the internet. Yeah.
Well, we know they have the internet because they got busted for having porn in the Vatican. And guess what they found?
God, you saw Pornhub statistics this year, right?
Kink.com was found. And you know what were the most popular thing that they had more of than anything else? TS Seduction.
Well, but everybody likes that the best.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was
but like still,
the
yeah.
thing, one of the, probably one of the most hellfire damnation things you could possibly do
pretty
in the Catholic
much.
Church.
Yeah, and it's that's probably one of their top no-nos.
Science.
Right?
I guess that's what it's going to. All right, what are we talking about? Oh, John Paul.
The saint.
The saint.
The saint. That's amazing.
It's available.
Buy it now.
Buy it. Buy it now. Let me see. G-O-H-N-K-O.
This is happening live. Online. I'm so excited.
I'm totally going to do this right fucking now.
Why is that available?
I couldn't believe that John Paul the Pope was available. I'm going to buy this just so I have it. John
right,
Paul
because
the
no other celebrity would have any. Like, you could have, like, you know, Julia Roberts 72754, I bet, is taken. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. How is that available?
They're not. You'd think that they knew me at this point, that they should be smarter about this because I'm.
I feel like they know your work intimately.
I mean, I've tainted them.
Because Pornhub can, and these places can say where everything is streaming from. You know what I mean?
Right.
They know that multitudes of people in the Vatican are watching a lot of porn.
Right, for science purposes.
A lot of porn for science. To see what their flock, is that the right word, is
flock,
watching.
Yeah. I think it's the flock. Okay, I'm going to double check.
Constituents? I don't know. What's the...
I think it's
the
their
crew?
Flock. They're boys.
Yeah.
All right. G-O-H-N-P-A-U-L-T-H-E-S-A-I-N-T. That's right?
Saint, yeah.
Double check. I'm about to buy it like right now while we're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You motherfuckers.
Oh, my God.
And all I'm going to do
and
is
And what's
just
the price?
It.
What's the price of this epic website?
This epic website, as of right now, is $11.99.
That's like two cups of coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah, and I'm about to just fucking be the shithead.
And you should launch it the day that he gets coronated because everyone will be searching for it. And you'd get the hits and hits and hits and hits and hits.
Come on now. I'm worried, but I'm like, thank God.
I don't know.
Do
you get
live.
Coronated? Whatever. Sainted?
Sainted.
Sainted?
Full domain, privacy and protection, ultimate domain. I just want the full. I just sell it to me.
Just give it to me.
Continue to cart. Because like I said, all I'm going to do is just fucking redirect it straight to my site.
Right. But like if you, that's going to be the day, like you're going to get traffic like crazy.
Right.
Like crazy. Why did they not buy that?
I don't know. Can I do it for 1 year?
Mm-hmm. Why not?
It's 33% off for 1 year. And then it renews.
Yearly?
Yearly, so it's $22 to get it right now.
What if they wanted you to sell it to them? Would you sell it to them?
Yeah.
For how much?
A lot.
Like a lot.
A lot.
Like a lot, a lot. And like every time they come to you with an offer, just put dirtier shit up there. Like deep fakes of him doing crazy like stuff. Like put his face in all the work that you saw the Vatican, like the TS stuff or whatever. Oh my God.
This is great. So all right, here we go. Complete purchase.
Put his face on your face. I don't know. Get weird.
Oh, I'm going to get fucked up. That's like the
get weird till you're a millionaire with it. Till like they're like, please take it down. We'll give you any amount of money.
What does that say right there, Sharitaville?
Thank you for your order. We've emailed your receipt. Total $22 for the epic website of, where are we? JohnPaulTheSaint.com.
Got it.
So very soon, you guys can all go to JohnPaulTheSaint.com. I don't know what's going to be on it, but it's going to be good.
It's going to be good because we just did that. That's like that might be the most epic way I could ever wrap up a fucking podcast.
I love that.
So you've got such fucking good stuff to talk about. We didn't get to half the stuff I wanted to, but we're going to have to get you booked.
We'll have to
do
it again.
I think we have you on the books coming up soon.
Soon.
Right?
I hope so.
Yeah, because you, like, there's another girl's the same thing. Like, I have to book you way out.
Yeah, well, part of it is I had this crazy neck injury, so I was off work for 2 months.
Oh, shit.
So I had to, like, push that 2 months of work to like the next 2 months, and then other people were still trying to book regularly, and then this particular year is more crazy than normal because of that.
We'll do another one when you come back and shoot for me. We'll make sure we have time. The way I wrap this up really quick is I do, and you've already given a lot of advice, but if you could give advice to anyone coming in the industry or even that's already in the industry, just something that you can say, hey, this is, do this to kind of help you, what would you say?
I'd say, I know this, everyone always says this, but truly only do the things that you feel like doing. Or like, you know that organizer, is it Marie Kondo? I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Do it if it sparks joy. Right. And I really mean that genuinely, because if you're happy in your work, not only will your scenes be better, right? So if you like that, nominations, awards, right, doing a good job, but your heart will feel happy. You'll be a pleasure to be with on set. Your whole career is going to go better just by following what you want to do. And that doesn't just mean sex acts. That means who you want to work with. Right. Directors, producers, people, sex acts. If I've been blessed to do that, and I think anyone can do that now that it's the age of content. You know, if you don't want to work for someone, just spend that day shooting your own content and see where it goes. You'll have a much, much, much longer and much more lucrative career. If you pull back a little in the beginning for happiness, it'll pay off like 10 million fold in the end.
That's awesome. And that's a new one. I haven't got that one yet. I get a lot of the money management and stuff, but that was a good one.
Oh yeah. Manage your money, start your corp, have an investor. All that stuff. Yeah. Da, da, da. That's life though, you know?
Yeah. Alrighty. You were awesome. You got to go, cause I know you are busy woman, and you get the fuck out of here. did you have a good time?
I had a really good time.
It was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Final applause. Thank you. See you guys.